Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here are assignments from over the weekend. What possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either-or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. Then on Saturday, self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this issue? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hate messages. Example, you can never do anything right. RL, what you're saying. And then on Sunday, there's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. What messages about who or how you are is being implied by self-hate? For example, the underlying message in you can never do anything right is who you are intrinsically has no value. Your contribution needs to meet standards for you to be accepted. Since you can't do anything right, you don't have any value. RL, what you see.
That's
all right.
Here's
our first.
Just hearing that, it's so sad that anybody would ever feel that way. All right, okay. Here we go.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in New York.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hello.
Long time no hear.
I know. I've been on the calls, but I've just gotten on, so I'm happy to be here.
Happy to have you here.
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
Well, it's funny because I had that same experience. I was just reading over what I had written for the assignments, and just I actually had this something drop in, like, I refuse to be sad about this. Like, that is just a conditioning dream is for me to get sucked into some idea of how sad it is. But it there's that, and then there's just the, like, whoa, this is pretty intense.
Yes, that. Well, let me just stop you there, Jill, because that's a really important point, okay? To recognize it's incredibly sad.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into a story with ego about that.
Right, because I think that's part of the underlying message, is that that story comes up, I get sad about it, and then it's just another step in the process, in the conditioned process.
Well, yes, and you know, if we were doing focused on something like service, that's where people get stuck, right? Well, I feel bad. I'm doing my part. I'm incredibly sad. I'm
right.
it just breaks my heart that people are starving. There.
I can really see it in other people too. Like, whenever there was someone in my circle who kept saying, I just feel so bad about everything, you know, oh, I just feel, and I just had to be like, you have to stop saying that. It's like, it's not a good mantra.
Right. And that is what it becomes, right? It's a mantra.
Yeah.
And we know that what a mantra is, right? It directs the attention. And if we've got a mantra that is directing attention to where we don't want to be, that is not a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And then just the one other thing that came up around these assignments was, that what is possible is being taken away by the focus on this underlying message. Like, if my attention is on this underlying message, you know, things that that are possible just don't seem available.
They're not available.
Yeah.
Because the quality of life is determined by the focus of attention, right?
Yeah.
So that's how ego does it. Just get folks to focus on their ego's story, and life's possibility is not available.
Yeah, and just the when I got to the underlying message, it just really felt like almost two magnets coming together. Like it just feels like that there's somebody who's so used to believing that when it
yes.
comes up. I mean, it definitely has a certain resonance that is that's sort of what I think where the sad thing came from. It's like, wow, this is not a small little, you know, hiccup. This is like a process that is determining a lot about what my life experience is. And it's just, it's big.
Yeah. And you've been practicing a lot for a long time. And you're
and still,
seeing this.
I know.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Most people just live their entire lives in what I'm experiencing is true.
Yeah, it's
and
funny because...
arguing with everything that argues against that, looking for everything that supports that, just living in that conversation.
Exactly. In fact, mm-hmm. just one more quick thing right before I got to this underlying message. I was reading about Thomas Jefferson's life. And, you know, my underlying message is something like, you know, you had so much promise. How did we end up where we are now? If, you know, so where I am, it has no value is basically what the underlying message is. And then right before I got to that message, I was reading about Thomas Jefferson, and conditioning was right there. Like, look at all the things that Thomas Jefferson did with his life.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
well, thank you. Isn't that helpful? So let's make a list of all of the things that have happened for Jill in her life.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
because it's not like you're living
on
the streets.
That's very true. Oh yes. Oh yeah. No, that was definitely a part of that. When that mm-hmm. dropped in, I was like, wow, that is just so cruel. So cruel.
Hateful.
Hateful, yeah. Hateful, and that we don't have to live like that anymore is a great joy.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Lovely to hear from you.
And nice to talk to you. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Take good care.
You
Bye.
Too. Bye.
Thanks, Jill. You know, Sherry, the thing I was picking up most on that in that conversation, so many things, but that process by which the self-hate message causes us to identify with the sadness, and as you've said so many times, emotions may appear to make things real. And so because it's an emotional place, we're tricked into going there and identifying with being victimized by the self-hate, which is such a negation of the life force that is always living in the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way in which that particular set of building blocks to that conclusion is a manipulation to focus the attention on feeling being the victim rather than being animated constantly by possibility, which is our experience when we're here. It's almost like a double negation.
Yes, and the thing is, for me, I know we'll see if this has any merit, but the person who realizes it's sad, it's not sad for them.
Right.
So it's a very different experience from being a victim to the sadness.
Yes, it's the recognizing the process and knowing that there's another choice is a moment of awareness. But in that moment of awareness, I think what you're saying is if the attention goes into identifying with sad, becoming the person again, it's how
yes.
the conditioning gets us. Whereas
yes.
if I'm in that moment of awareness, I realize I don't have to go there. In fact, indulging in becoming the sadness is actually a step back into conditioning.
Yes,
and
because
I don't have to go with it anymore.
That's right, because it moves from content to, from process to content. Yeah. Right? Yeah, as soon as I identify, as soon as I identify with the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, then this, it's about me. It's sad that this happened to me. and of course, that isn't actually sad.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ignorance. The fact that we are conditioned to ignorance is a sad fact. It's an unnecessary suffering causing sad fact. The content of what happens within that is the path to awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's really big what we're looking at.
It is really big. It's kind of everything. Yeah, let's just jump right in. It's Monday. Heck.
Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa from North Carolina.
Well, hello, Vanessa. What are you seeing?
Hi. Let's see. So, well, one thing I sort of wanted to check out around the last thing that you guys were just talking about was one way that I feel like I sort of thought about that for myself is as if you take some kind of movie and there's a villain, and the villain is egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, and the villain often has sort of this sidekick who the villain is always super mean to. It's sort of a bumbling sidekick, but you can see that in like that the bumbling sidekick is actually like kind of good and or is a good person, but sort of it's going along with this person. And so that's how I have distanced myself sort of from that sadness for that bumbling sidekick, and how sad it is that to look and see how much I love that bumbling sidekick and is very lovable, and just sort of misguide it by listening to this villain. So anyway, it's a way that I have found helpful to disidentify from that sadness.
Yes. Well, and
does that make any sense?
It does. It does. And to me, the realizing how people suffer leads us to compassion, right? So when people are suffering and they don't know there's a possibility, they don't know there's anything else available, it's rugged, as we know. It's awful. It's awful to be stuck in a story and deeply believe it and think there really is something wrong with you and all that negativity that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate throws at a person. It's awful, right? As soon as we get to the place in life through, all of those wonderful things that happen for us, and we realize that none of that is true, it's actually a story. So it's the movie, as you say. People are living in a movie, all right? And and they're completely compelled by the movie, and they're not ready, they're not able, whatever is going on, that at this point is their only choice, okay? And it seems like, at least in my experience, what happens to us is we have to get so thoroughly miserable and sick of that movie that we'll do anything to get out of it, right? So once we reach that point, then it actually, that story is no longer sad because we realize, that's what's between me and the wisdom, love, and compassion that is the authentic nature of all that is. Okay, let's get to work. Which is where I like to use the image of having a great big house that is filthy dirty. And I've been sitting in the middle of it feeling sorry for myself because nobody's helping me clean this up and I don't know why it's such a mess and there's nothing I can do about it. And one day it occurs to me, this is my house. And I start cleaning it up. And I love
it. Right.
Yeah. So then there's nothing sad about the fact that the house is a mess. It's my best opportunity because what I'm cleaning it up with is the intelligence that animates all.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hang together?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So now there's nothing wrong, right? If I don't like something, if I'm, you know, then I can know I've gotten a story. I'm not seeing what is actually so. I'm deluded, right? The greed, hate, and delusion that the Buddha talked about, right? I'm deluded. I'm believing something that is not true. Well, how do I, okay, what now?
Right. So what I was going to say was sort of around the assignment about like what a possibility is available to you if you get out of that story. And what mm-hmm. I was looking at was in my work, I need to do some data entry into QuickBooks of like sales receipts and things like that. And mm-hmm. the whole time, ego is just saying that I'm doing it wrong and I'm going too slow and blah, 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 blah. But what I saw was I could actually be looking at those sales receipts and being like, look at all this stuff that you sold. And you know what? It was beautiful and it was this and it was that. And like, how amazing that you even have this, you know, that could
you
be
have sales
the
receipts.
Information that, and that is actually what's looking me in the face, like all this stuff, like, oh, you know. And to be there and then, you know, it would put a whole different spin on it. Like it would be a celebration of everything
Absolutely.
That I did over the past years, you know, instead
Absolutely.
Of just this time that I get beaten.
That's right. And so you go to that
yeah.
computer and you say, I love you, computer. And you open up QuickBooks and you say, I love you, QuickBooks, because what a miracle that is. Right? You're punching
exactly.
little keys instead of laboriously, like Scrooge's poor clerk, you know, writing all this down in a great big book, right?
Right.
I love you sales receipts. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, it's,
yeah.
and I love and then, you, human, for being able to do this. Thank you.
And when you said, like, what we're cleaning the house up with is the intelligence that animates, I think that's what you said, or the wisdom,
yep.
love, and compassion, I was like, oh, that's exactly it, because that's gratitude, and that's appreciation. And
that's
it's,
right.
And then that was kind of even more exciting, because it's like, oh, my gosh, that's not even me. It's just like I'm in that flow.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I do know what you mean, but I'm going to do a little tiny kind of, it will sound out there to a lot of folks, correction. It actually is you, but it's not the me.
Uh-huh.
Because you are that wisdom, love, and compassion. You are the intelligence that animates all, right? And what gets in our way and wants to mm-hmm. say mean things to us and take us off course and have us feel sorry for ourselves and focus on negativity is the ego. So what you're doing this with is wisdom, love, and compassion, and it's joyful.
And so it's not me, the small me, but it is me in the larger sense. Is that what you're saying, or did I misunderstand?
Well, if we were going to do that, we could say big I, which is authentic nature, is the intelligence. That's actually what's doing everything. And then there's little
right.
I, ego, who is just trying to get attention and gumming up the works and trying to make everything miserable so it can be the center of the universe. But it's never going to be the center of the universe. And so it really behooves us to realize which one we are.
Right. I guess then...
Well, just to stay with this for another minute.
There is the awareness maybe that turns the attention to that.
That's right.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And it is what felt that spark of, ooh, in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's that realization. It's that awareness. And when you start watching for it, you realize that's what's there animating the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. You're going to let me know, aren't you?
All right. Yeah.
Fun with sales receipts.
Yes.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thank you, Siri. Thank you, Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Vanessa. That conversation brought to mind that quote from the write-up, Sherry, that when we're doing anything without love, it's slavery.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And that it's not just the content of that, but the process of it that you were pointing at, which is when I approach something from the perspective of being here, I have a completely different experience than when I'm approaching it from that identification of not me. That is not I, the I that's animating
right.
everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so if I'm the slave and I'm being beaten, there's not too much that's going to be a good time, right? But when we realize slavery is delusion. Now, I'm not, mm-hmm. don't everybody, because yes, I understand people today are in slavery all over the world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our relationship with wisdom, love, and compassion versus our relationship with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. When we identify with ego, we are a slave to that hatred. Okay. When mm-hmm. we step back and realize that is not who we are, we are the intelligence that animates all. We are wisdom, love, and compassion. We are free. It is that straightforward and simple.
Mm-hmm. And the process of switching between the two is exactly what you were talking with Vanessa about. Instead of approaching
yes.
the sales receipts from the perspective of, oh my God, I've got to do this chore. It's, wow, I love these sales receipts.
Yeah.
Right? It's got nothing
yes.
to do with the
yeah.
sales receipts. It's the process I'm in.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And there's nothing like thank you and I love you to make that switch.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my God. Hi, this is Debbie. I'm in Minnesota.
Hello, Debbie.
Well,
I'm
in a car, and I have to find a way of... I'm great. Great. I'm very happy to be on the call.
Good.
Wow. And completely shocked. Wondering how I can pull over. Should I just pass it along because I don't see an easy way to pull over? Or should I talk?
Well, only you can know whether you're safe or unsafe in the circumstances.
Well, I'm safe. I'd love to tell you what
Good.
I'm seeing.
Good.
I've seen... In the realm of work, I've seen like that there's been a block, and then this like weird guilt shame thing around participation, and that ends up leaving me in a conversation where I'm evaluating my worth or the worth of someone else that I'm projecting this whole thing onto.
Mm-hmm.
So either it's not good enough, he or she's so much better than me, I'm not good enough, or something along those lines, but it's about the participants rather than just doing the work. And it's distracting.
you and I are doing the same job, and instead of you being allowed to focus on you doing the job, you get focused on me and how I'm doing and comparing us. Is that what happens?
Right. So there's just, yeah, there's just like the devaluation of oftentimes it's me or the organization or a person I'm working with rather than
okay.
just doing the thing that's going to make the work well.
That's right. So what you're describing, of course,
yeah.
is being recognizing that duality, right? So there's something wrong
yeah.
with you. No, there's something wrong with them. No, there's something wrong with you. No, there's something wrong with them. And realizing that the whole point of that is to keep you from just being present to life and enjoying what you're doing.
Exactly. Right. Because there are always steps to take that would, you know, improve my participation or improve what's going on for the organization or the effort or whatever it is. But then the guilt-shame thing becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then how dare you become something I hear, and who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And, like, things that a parent might say to a child in a moment of frustration that just stuck one day.
And so,
it's helpful to see it. It's very helpful to see it. Yeah, go on.
And are you aware that assessment is being done by ego? That conversation in your head?
Yeah. When you say that, what comes to mind for me is that every time you say to me that, are you aware of that self-hate kind of thing, I come down to the same bottom line that I'm told. It's always the same ultimate bottom line. There's something terribly wrong with you because your mom was mentally ill, right? So when it always brings me back to that place. So I think if I'm realizing that self-hate for me often comes with that, that's what I hear with it, then yes.
Okay, good, very good. So with that bottom line, here's what I want you to play with, okay? If you are seeing that bottom line is not you.
Right.
Because you are seeing it. You're seeing it from awareness. So you're seeing a conditioned belief and assumption, but it is a conditioned belief and assumption. It is not you, the awareness, that is seeing that.
Right. That's right. So, just doing a process map around it is very helpful, because then you're right. It pulls me out of that identification and out of that place. Like, I'm not there at this moment. I can talk about it because I'm not feeling identified with it right now.
Yes, and Debbie, you're ready to disidentify from it permanently. You don't have to wait to get pulled into it.
I really am.
Yeah, you don't have to wait to get pulled into it and then do a process to disidentify from it. You can just simply realize, as you did, that whole thing, that whole process is bogus. And you can simply bring attention back to awareness.
Yeah, and then participate in a way that's supportive of myself.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that, because that engages it again. Well, that just engages the process again. You just want to stay there. You just want to stay in awareness. Life will drop in whatever is next, but you don't need to have an idea about what that's going to be. That just takes you right back into conditioned mind. All right. Now
that's
drive safely, okay?
I've pulled over. I'm good. I'm in my car.
We're at time, so the timing is perfect.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry. Gosho. Thank you, Ashley.
Gosho.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay. Gosho. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Debbie. You know, Sherry, that's such an important awareness to have, and I think that's why the process map helps, because in that moment of awareness, when we get to the recognition that the bottom line is the same, the next movement is to stay in awareness. And what we tend to do is move on to the next sticky of the process map without realizing that's what we're doing. Right?
That's
it's the same place that Jill was pointing at, where when I recognize that it's sad, I've actually disidentified from the process, and I'm looking at the process
And the next step is into the content again if I don't pay attention. And so our
yes.
practice at this subtle level is to just stay in the awareness and to
yes.
know what the next sticky is so we don't go there.
Right. Yeah. Yes. That's critical, isn't it? So I know what
yes.
the next sticky is. I know that's what I don't want to indulge. I want to stay it with the blank sticky of awareness.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I want to be off the map. Yes.
Yes.
Although,
yeah.
All right, so our assignment for today. The self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? Aaron, what you see?
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Thanks, Carrie. Go happy.